Welcome to the Digital Forester Podcast, where we talk to foresters about how they are using digital technologies in their day-to-day forestry work. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Digital Forester Podcast. Today, I'm joined by George Bansaf. He's the president and CEO of Tree Tracker. George, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Awesome. And whereabouts am I reaching you? Since you and I have never met before, we don't know each other. I believe somewhere in the U.S. Southeast.
Yeah, so I'm down in Starkville, Mississippi, and kind of the heart of the southern U.S.
Yeah, and is that home for you originally? That's families there, or were you a transplant from another part of the U.S.? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I grew up in the Dallas area, so I did transplant here, but I've been here for, since about 2000. University studies here in Starkville at Mississippi State, and just kind of I bounced around a little bit but ended up back here.
Yeah, very cool. I used to live in the south. Well, I shouldn't say used to. I lived in the south. I'm not sure how you can kind of used to, but I was there in Huntsville, Alabama for 18 months, so certainly got a taste of the south and loved every moment of it. But as with anything, when romance is back home, you kind of go where she says you need to go. But I had a great time in the south. So maybe talk to me about your journey in forestry. How did you get to where you are today? Is there some family component, some interest in forestry, or what was that starting point for you in this journey?
Yeah, so I would say that the family component was the birth of my first son, right? So yeah, I kind of got motivated a little bit to look at his future, and there was some family interest in forestry that kind of led me in that way and made me willing to go and get some degrees and understand an education in it and background, as well as go off and work kind of in some industry jobs just to know it better.
Yeah,
but it really kicked off with when my first son was born, and my second son is just that was really kind of the spark that threw me into forestry.
And so did you know somebody before that worked in forestry and had a sense or inkling of what the profession was about, or was it just happenstance and you're like, hey, you know, I'm interested, I'm going to go down this road and see where it takes me?
Yeah, so it really was a little bit of happenstance, but there was an opportunity there that just kind of led me that way, and I fell in love with it. You know, I right at first it was sort of like an opportunity. I explored it, but even in my undergrad, I didn't go straight forestry. I was like, okay, I'm in geology and business finance and with a touch in forestry, but the forestry department and the professors, I just really fell in love with it, kept going, got a master's in it. And one of the things I love about forestry is there's no end to problems to solve, right? It's a plethora of challenges all over the place. And kind of my mindset is always how to solve challenges, how to make things more efficient. And so the more I got into forestry conversations and challenges, the more solutions I came up with, the more I felt effective, and you kind of get that inner feeling of you're making a difference sort of thing. So I can honestly say, you know, I'm not predicting the future, but there's no way I can solve all the forestry problems because it's just so complex. But so you that's one of the things I just absolutely love about it, is every day there's a new challenge.
For sure. And so I'm dying to know, most people who do graduate school, you know, they have their thesis, master's, and what did you study for your master's thesis, and how much of what you're doing now is related to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I did my master's in prediction modeling. So I did growth and yield models for hardwood stands in the U.S. South, kind of oaks, salt, sweet gum kind of complexes. And but it wasn't just predicting volume. We were actually trying to predict standing grade of the lumber. How much grade volume is in there? And so we spent a few years and developed it. That was done through the U.S. Forest Service funded, and very appreciative of them for that opportunity. And but it went out and it's being utilized in big industry now and kind of converted for hardwood growth and yield models. Yeah.
Very cool. So really you're calling from your 100-foot yacht in the Mediterranean from commercializing that research, right?
Yeah, well, I'm in forestry. I don't want to get a 100-foot yacht, but no, I mean that experience was definitely instrumental to providing basically not having my mind limited on what can be done, right? It was really challenging, and it came with an end result that's usable. And from that experience, the brick wall of can this be done kind of removed. And so that's really, it really propelled me forward. And finishing a master's in general is really propels your confidence in learning. And people always kind of look at this, oh, he's got a master's, he must know a whole bunch. It's like, well, no, what I learned is I don't know a lot, but I can figure it out.
100%, 100%. Now, before we talk more about Tree Tracker, I know looking at your background and the work you've done, you've been involved with a lot of consulting work of various types. So, can you walk us through that journey? Because I suspect those experiences over those many years, and I think it's correct me if I'm wrong, like well over a decade of that consulting experience, I'm going to assume that's probably influenced what you're doing now. But before we get to Tree Tracker, can you share some thoughts in terms of that journey and what was special about it?
Sure, absolutely. And I think it's important to take one step before that, which was my time at Rayonier. So I, you know, from my master's, I got a job at Rayonier, marketed timber, worked in their inventory department. And the reason why I want to touch on that is from the experience on that front, I dealt with a lot of contractors. I was dealt with a lot of loggers. I dealt with a lot of inventory data gatherers. And from my perspective, I had all these great tools. I had an enormous plethora of GIS tools and data management tools and ways to search all this information and make decisions. And so I made some big decisions, and then I gave it to a contractor. Maybe I gave him a shape file, maybe I gave him something else, but I kind of gave him what I thought they needed and didn't think anything of it. It was like, this is my information, that's yours. And there was a clear separation. So fast forward after that, I leave, I create a consulting company, and now I'm a contractor and I'm doing inventory work. People are giving me shape files. I say, okay, great. So now I got this point file, and now it's up to me to do something with it. I don't have the same tools, I don't have the same software. And so I'm kind of looking around going, where's all those really cool tools? And so I'm having to do searches for different apps and different ways to make maps and that sort of thing. And it dawned on me that what I was doing before was not arming the contractors to be as successful as I wanted them to be. I'm paying them to do a job. I want them to perform at a very high level, but I can't let them into my system. I can't let them see my secret, data and all this sort of stuff. And so I'm like, there's got to be a better way. And with the consulting side, you know, I've worked in inventory imagery gathering, did a lot of drone work for a while, lots of mapping. A bunch of it was a lot of my clients was me doing their GIS work for them, slapping their logo on it and making them look good. And so I learned that a whole bunch of these smaller consultants aren't comfortable in GIS either. So I kind of found a niche in doing the office work and the mapping and the data. And I still do that today. People call and ask me all the time, like, hey, can you make this edit for me? And it's like, sure, no problem. And it kind of got to a point where it's like, I can't do everybody's GIS work, so let me build some systems where they can do it themselves. So I have to start listening to what are their pain points, what don't they like about getting to the end product, right? Because it's not about the software, how cool it is. It's about the end data and the map. You know, that's what they care about to make their decision for whatever their goal is. So that, you know, as a consultant, I just was like always trying to become efficient. It was like, how do I save 20 minutes here on this job? How do I save 20 minutes here on that job? And then I've always had this dream of building Tree Tracker. This idea actually started the first year of my consulting company, and it just took 14 years or something like that to come to fruition. But this has been a long road. If I was a programmer, it probably would have gone faster, but I have some skill sets, and that's not one of them. So I needed to rely on my partners and their skill sets in programming.
Right. Well, we could always describe it as 14 years in stealth mode. I think that's the proper
That's my
BC, right? To make
yes.
it cool and sexy, right? You're
Yeah,
in
that's right.
stealth
There you
mode.
go.
You just came out of stealth mode last year, right? It was intentional there. So
Yeah.
that's good there. Yeah, absolutely. So thinking of Tree Tracker, you mentioned you have technical CTO that's doing some of the maybe heavy in the weeds, and you're in the CEO role. So maybe tell me how did you two meet, or maybe there's other folks as well, but was there was this a situation of a confluence of folks coming together, or this was ordained, or this was always orchestrated from 14 years ago? How did this team come together?
Man, I think the best way I can put it is pick your friends really wisely, And where we met was actually back in grad school. So my partner has a background in forest products. And so he got a PhD in forest products and manufacturing of forest products and technology in that. But he also got a master's in computer science. So he learned how to do that. And when he was doing his postdoc, just the stars aligned and he got a postdoc position with my major professor. And it's really funny you asked that question because I can envision going in and meeting him for the first day in my professor's office. We go in and my professor says, "George, this is Gan. Gan, this is George. You guys are partners. Go out and make money." That's exactly what he said, and it's held up. That was in 2007, and here we are, and I could spend hours talking about the adventures and industries that he and I have worked together, from utility work and forestry work, and now a tree tracker, and just always been there helping and support each other. But without him, there wouldn't be Tree Tracker, and without me, there wouldn't be Tree Tracker. So like he's been a huge influence on the success of this going forward. So it's been really great.
Yeah, and I'm sure your major professor will always be like, "I told you, boy, so and told you so. I forecasted this." So maybe introduce us to Tree Tracker. What is Tree Tracker about? What's the company's mission, vision? What are you trying to achieve?
Right. So Tree Tracker is an online mobile app based GIS database management system, right? So that's a mouthful. But we do online mapping. It's all live, so it connects to your field data gatherers. We built in a lot of functions that foresters, especially consultant foresters, are utilizing every day, but it's paired out into four or five different apps. There might be four or five different apps that we all like these functions. None of them communicate together, but we really like it here, like an offline mode or something that lets me display my map as I'm walking around. Parcel data, collaboration and sharing, all these type of things that are really neat. We pieced it together and made it forestry specific, so you don't have to work through five or six different steps in order to get to the right answer, because we just streamline that for them. And so it's always growing. We add new functions every month, but it's out there and available to everybody, right? So what's our mission statement, I would say, is to improve information, communication, and grow the collaboration of your forest decision making, and save you time, make you efficient.
Very cool. So who would be your typical customer? Is it like a big REIT, TIMO? Is it purely the consulting Forrester? Who's that sweet ideal customer profile that you tree tracker targets?
Right. So one of the pain points that we were aiming for initially, like before we took a customer in, we said there's 54% of the US forest land ownership that is owned by private landowners that have 200 acres or less. None of them have access to tools like this, and none of them a lot of them struggle to participate in markets and what have you, and consultants and things that struggle with communicating. So our first thought was, we'll build this, we'll put it out there, and landowners will love it. And so they do. We have landowners that use this. They map their property. They're able to walk around, store photos and documents in there, and they like it. But what we also found out really quick was that when you can connect the small landowners and the medium-sized landowners to industry, all the big industry like it too. So, we're 1 year into taking customers. We're really relatively new, but we have conversations with really large companies in their procurement teams. They're like, this is great. It's an opportunity where the landowner can connect with us, share a shape, and let us know that wood's available. We've got government agencies talking with us that do cost share for reforestation. Contractors are using it right now, where the logger, the feller buncher driver, is driving around and he's able to stay inside the boundary because he's using his phone GPS, not having to buy all this heavy equipment. So, you got landowners, loggers, but really kind of some of our favorite bragging rights, if you will, for the first year is education institutes are utilizing us. So we are being used in senior capstone classes this semester. And one of my small consultants customers, he called me the other day and said, hey, I got this job application in, and on the skill set they listed Tree Tracker, and he's coming out of the university from using it senior capstone. So right now, it's not a one funnel look. Like we all connect and utilize it, and it's starting to happen naturally and organically, where everybody's touching it from all these different industries. So it's been a fantastic first year on that front.
Yeah, I can definitely see you grinning as you tell this story. Seems like, the first year went much better than planned or expected. It's not quite the right words, but you're obviously happy with how the first year went.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a lot of hard work and getting out there and introducing yourself, but yeah, first year has been fantastic, and we look forward to the future.
Yeah, definitely. I know when I've watched you on social media, is like, man, George is traveling. It's like one event to another event to another event, and I'm like, I'm not sure I can do that schedule that I was watching you do. But hey, kudos to you. So thinking of Tree Tracker, you mentioned there's different applications. So maybe walk us through so our audience can understand like what the different apps are and what their capabilities are, and maybe can you put it in the context of a, I know there's not a typical user, but let's say I was a consulting forester. Maybe that would be an example. Oh, hi, I'm Kevin. I'm a member of ACF. I'm a consulting forester. George, nice to meet you. I heard all these cool things about Tree Tracker. I got this problem where I don't have a system to do my data management. I can't collect anything in the field, or someone gives me something, I gotta transcribe and I do it all wrong. But how can you help me? Like, what would I buy from you? Or is it buy everything? Probably the answer is buy everything. But can you walk me through that journey so our audience can appreciate the power of Tree Tracker and the killer features?
Right, sure. So, like, if I put on my talking to consultant forester hat, I would explain to them how the GIS is simplified, right? So one thing I always hear is there's all these crazy functions in the GIS system I use, and it's overwhelming, right? So we simplified that. We offer our own GIS solution, right? So we're not using a third party. But we connect to third parties. If you have all your own information in shapefiles, import it in, export it out, no problem. But we do offer those solutions in-house, and we built those features and offerings together in-house. And that does a couple of interesting things, right? Like we don't have to pay a royalty to some GIS, which lets us offer some free trials. That connects you to the private landowner right there. So you can go in, you can map, it's simplified. Our database structure, like if you've worked with other platforms, it's a blank slate. So as foresters, we typically use a lot of the same data fields, but we all name it something different. Now you have all these great problems of merging shapefiles together, and we spend all these hours. We built a wizard. You can just go in and upload, line up your data with our fields, and it plugs it right in. Goes great. When you print off a map, we have a template already done. You zoom in, you check a few boxes, upload your logo, upload your contact information, and hit print. You don't have to be a cartographer. So you don't have to worry about like what, where do I put the scale bar and the legend? We automate all that for you and give you a very professional map very quickly. But ultimately, what the consultant foresters and the landowners really love is when you put all this information in and then you start storing photos at the polygon level. You start storing documents at the polygon level. So all my records for that stand is all in one place. This becomes a digital forest management plan. And so if we think of like, okay, technology of the past versus the future, like I go into some of my clients' office, they got a whole room of binders, like 3-inch binders for people's forest management plan, and then a tornado goes through and you got to open it up, and then you take your crayon and you mark through and you're like, basically this area got hit in 2024 because I don't have time to make a new map. Well, you just digitize it and put it in our system, and everybody has it because we built a very custom sharing program. So now you can share view only to your landowners. They can see all the information you're building for them live as you do it on their phone. Now they get to sit in the coffee shop, you know, in their town and brag about how all their stuff, and they can just sit there and say, oh, look, here's a picture of my forest and yada, 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 and kind of really enjoy their property more. But Kevin, that leads another really smart thing and a problem we're trying to solve is how do you take all these forest knowledge and pass it on? So your digital forest management plan, the next generation, you hand them a book that's a couple hundred pages, they're going to be like, yeah, sell the property. I don't want to deal with it. But if you hand it to them on the phone, and then they can say, give me turn by turn directions, and they can go through there and they can see a picture of what their granddad took, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, they're going to be more connected. And so we do have some landowners that are using this like as a digital succession plan. And
Interesting.
that's kind of how we're thinking differently, right? It's the same problem. It's using technology to be more efficient and to connect with a different type of clientele. And so, yeah, so some of my small consultants, they're taking this and now they're saying, okay, if you've got 500 acres or less and you're a client, you don't even have to pay, right? So we let free accounts have 500 acres shared with them. We did that for consultants and smaller landowners. They build it, they get view only, they go do their job, and the manager as a consultant, I don't have to go and say, I really like this, now you have to buy something. They will grow with it and they'll store data, and if they want more, then they'll just upgrade. It's no problem. So we wanted to remove the barrier of being too expensive. So we just give limitations and let an avenue for everybody to get in there. And so that's really there's so much more to it, right? But on a high level, it's really about providing the information to everybody so we can all be on the same page.
Very interesting and neat approaches to the business model, how to go in and thinking of that, like obviously you mentioned you're solving problems and thinking about these folks who are using Tree Tracker. What would you say was preventing them from adopting technology? Was it what was available in the market was too expensive, or the relationship with those vendors, big or small, wasn't present, and these folks didn't feel comfortable asking the questions maybe that needed to be answered, but didn't want to look foolish asking them. But is there something you've seen in your career that maybe looking back, you're like, oh, that totally makes sense on why things, some might say the forest industry is slower to adopt technology, right? And you're laughing. Right. And yeah, people say, you know, foresters won't are cheap, they won't spend any money, but you and I know that's far farthest from the truth. It's like they'll spend the money where it makes sense. So what do you think, like, based on your career, what has held foresters back in terms of embracing some of these newer technologies?
I think a comfort level is one thing, right? So, if I look at like the students today and the universities that are using us, one of the things they said is they like our solution because they can teach forestry more. And they save 3 weeks worth of talking about technology because this streamlined some of the intuitiveness to the student's current understanding of how apps work and how things work, right? So historically, we didn't do things on the cloud. We didn't do things on a mobile app. We had to download some kind of software that was localized to our computer and it did local functions. And so that limited our ability to connect with other people through the same software. So that was a pain point or a limitation. Another thing was that everything was very relationship based in the back end in the database structure. And so you had to learn very specifically, do this, then this. And it was usually a step-by-step process. If I missed step one, I couldn't do step five. Where now we don't, you know, we use like a non-SQL kind of database structure and API driven. So we can easily connect with other programs and we can customize very simply. And you don't have to go in order. It's like pick and choose where you want, right? I need this task. I don't need to do steps one through five. Old inventory programs, it's like set up my stand information, this. I need to know my parameters of my, you know, my species and products. And they're already lost. Like they don't feel confident before they're even gathering data. And so nowadays we've got better technology to program with. We've got better vision. I think that some of the vision was there and desired to be there. It just wasn't available yet. And one of the reasons why we took so long to put this out is I'm pretty demanding. And I say, whenever I hear, yeah, this is good enough, I say, that's not something I like to hear. No, we're going to hold off. And technology needed to catch up to my vision, right? If I put this out 15 years ago, the programming languages and some of the database structures and stuff that we're using today were really just coming online. And so we're able to do a lot of really fun stuff now that we couldn't do 10 years ago. And
Right.
I think that limit the comfort level, right? You know, I was a GIS specialist, and I handled lots of different companies and hundreds of people sending information out that they weren't comfortable with. And we want to reduce that down where everybody's comfortable touching it and doing things.
Yeah. And thinking of that journey and speaking with people and producing something that's better than good enough. Do you notice a pattern in the generational divide? You mentioned some of the customers are looking at tree tracker as a technology to capture that forestry knowledge so that it could be passed down to within the family maybe, or even other generations. But as you talk with different folks, like obviously students who are getting trained in tree tracker at school, they're coming out already knowing it. But outside of that, is there a pattern in terms that you've seen in terms of folks and their age in terms of their receptiveness to some of these new technologies? Or do you think it's really just, well, you know what, the gray hairs, they're never going to change. You can't teach the dog new tricks, and that's okay. It's who they are. They had a successful career, but there's a different pack that's kind of coming through the ranks that just are, I won't say demanding, but come with different expectations in terms of what the art of the possible is. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think you're right. There's always outliers, but the percentage is coming out is this is where the decision making is going to come from. It's going to be data driven, and at your fingertips. Everyone carries a computer basically in their pocket now with their phone, and there is some resistance with some of the older consultants just because they're comfortable. They've got their system, but it's not a brick wall by any means. Where they see the advantage, they see the time saving, and then they pull in a younger partner to try and implement it. So I think there's an interest there, but typically they understand kind of where their process is in their career and their comfort level. But that's one of the nice things with us is, I've got an older dad consultant and a younger son consultant using this, and the dad is gaining the advantage because the younger son puts all the information in and sh gives share view only to the dad, and so the dad can go and he's able to utilize it, and his son is able to kind of control it and not have to do all the work. Like, yeah, the dad's not editing data and all that sort of stuff, but he's gaining the advantage from it. And so there is, that wasn't something really thought about when we were building this, but there is a really neat generational bridge that comes with this in some ways, because you don't have to ask the people that are less comfortable to do the GIS. They can gain all the advantage of it right at their fingertips. Whereas before, with, we go back to the older ways, it's a local software on your computer. You have to sit down and do it, and they send you a shape file, and you have to know how to upload a shape file, manipulate it. None of that has to happen anymore.
Very cool. And so early on you mentioned as you and your partners were putting this together, you needed to wait for a couple things to mature and for Tree Tracker to come together. Can you tell me more about what some of those elements were that you're patiently waiting for them to get to a maturity level that you deemed was, hey, it's good. That checks the box there and there. What's a couple examples there that you're patiently waiting for? And what are some that you're maybe still waiting for? Because you and I know with technology, it changes so quickly that there's always something around the corner. So what were those things you're waiting for then, and what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in the future?
One of the biggest things I would say was timing of both of me and my partner's lives just aligning to be able to dedicate 2 years to starting something on a technology side. It really was kind of going away from I didn't want to have a relationship-based database structure to where if anybody came and wanted to customize, I basically had to build a new system for them, right? So we don't do that. We have like an open-ended database. It's very flexible. That kind of came online and becoming more widespread, like maybe 10, 15 years ago. And we had to learn how it worked. We had to study it, that sort of thing. And that was me being demanding, like just saying, I mean, this is actually something that we say all the time is we understand forestry, we understand a lot of problems, but we don't know everything. People are going to come, they have different goals, they've got different desires, different outcomes they want to see, and that changes all the time too, right? Like more and more people are interested in forestry for totally different reasons. But all of those decisions start with the same basic information. How many acres you got? What kind of soil is it? What kind of trees are on it? How old is it? Was it planted? Was it not? Every decision starts with that basic core function there. And so what we see neat in the future is, or what we knew was going to be coming at us is people were going to come and say, I like the base platform, now customize it. And we say, yeah, we can do that. And we didn't want to say, okay, it's going to take 6 months because we got to rewrite all this back end and all this sort of stuff. So we actually customize and put things out in like a month's time and spit it out. And they've got a whole new module that only their account can see. And they don't have to download anything new. It's just type in your account and you can see it. And you've got something that drops down and you have a whole new window. And old date, my I'm not the programmer, but my understanding of what I always got pushback on when I was saying, just make it, come on. You know, it's easy. He says, I say that all the time. Ah, that's easy. He says, you don't understand. But you know, we're at a place where we can do that and we're getting successes. We just built a, you know, a whole new vegetative control module for utility, vegetative foresters and crew management, and did it in 3.5 weeks, and they're out using it today. So from start to finish, it's very quick. And that was what we were waiting on. Like I knew that we were going to get roadblocked with my future development stuff that I want to put in for everybody with custom jobs. And we did not need to have that kind of derail us. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And CEOs are the best, right? Everything is it's
Yeah.
easy in a CEO's world, right? And like, come on, it can't be that complicated.
No,
3.5 weeks, I heard. I heard 1 week, really, right? Like, not three and a half.
these guys are amazing. And you know, I can't I couldn't speak higher about them. What they do and what they perform at is a very high level, so they're really good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, for sure. And so with Tree Tracker, like these, I'm waving my smartphone around if it comes across on the screen here. Mobility is an important thing. So tell me, how much of Tree Tracker is everything mobility centric these days? Like boots on the ground or in the bush, is that the trend, or what does it mean to you, and what are you seeing on the ground?
Yeah, that's not changing, right? Like, and I don't know that it's, I think that was it's evolving past, you know, data recorders and big bulky data recorders. This does bring some new challenges though for us, right? And you've got to talk to each person and say, how much are you going to be out there? Because some of these batteries overheat. You know, they're not all rugged. Are you going to drop them in the water, right? So, you know, does it make sense for you to go and buy a dedicated device that's built for that ruggedness? But getting away from paper, yeah, absolutely. I think this next generation doing the paper tallies is gonna, it'll still be out there, but who likes trying to figure out all your paper notes that have blended together and your paper's torn from sweating all day and falling in water or whatever it rained on you, and you have to shove it in your Ziploc bag to protect it. You know, you just put it on the data on your phone, and if you have cell signal, you don't even have to work offline. It just everything's live. You know, I can see, you know, teams of inventory data gatherers going out and cruising and everybody seeing the results as they go live. Right, they're all linked together. Safety features improving. You know, actually, I get that is like, can you put things in there that let everybody in my network know where I'm at? So taking my GPS location for my phone and spreading it out and showing the location for safety and that sort of thing. I only see it grow, and that's and you know, you talk about older people adopting technology. Those are things coming from the older group. They're like, I'm going out of my property, and it would, and I carry a GPS receiver just in case something happens, right? And so they think about these things, and I do think the technology adoption is good on the older side. They don't need to hit all the buttons. They just need to kind of be more of a user, sort of thing. So, yeah, it's not going away. It's only going to grow, and we hope to kind of evolve
And
with
so thinking of Tree Tracker, is it the Apple Android combination, or Is there windows in there? What's the mix? And are you seeing a split? It's not really, well, I guess it's a split, but are you seeing one ecosystem more being adopted more by foresters, or is it pretty split even 50-50 or 33.3, 33.3, whatever one is?
So we're in both Android and Apple apps. You can download. It's not, we don't have to send you a link or anything. You can just go into the App Store and download it. I would say that we get way more iOS users.
Really?
And that's just because they have that device already. There's more. And that's the phone, right? Like they usually use Android tablets, but we have a lot of users that use Apple phones. And so since they're doing it on the phone, we get way more Apple downloads than we do Android currently. Yeah.
Okay,
And
interesting.
I don't know exactly what the percent split is, but that's the trend we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I find that fascinating because when I think back to like, many moons ago, Apple always seemed like it was a shiny premium thing. Like you can't take this into the bush; it's too fragile, and it's never gonna work. What if it's raining or is it waterproof? And mind you, as you know, like some of the earlier phones, right? They weren't waterproof, and or
Sure.
tablets and things have changed. But back then, Androids were always the forester's choice. Like it's open and it's more. Some of them cheaper, mind you. Some of the tablets now, the Android ones, are actually more expensive than the Apple
They
ones for what you
can
get.
be.
Yeah.
And I think part of it too, Kevin, is the it's not really that easy to get all your stuff accepted, right? Android is much easier to get accepted and put through, and there's a few less limitations. You can just build a link and email the link, and they can download it to their tablet. And so I think a lot of forestry softwares did the Android only avenue and didn't offer both. And we just did both. We said if we're going in one, we're going in both of them because we want to be able to give the option of whichever device they have out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. So maybe as we think of, oh, I should ask, it's like, and I know I can ask because I did the research on the website. Can you share with the audience pricing? Everyone always likes to think about it, but no one ever asks it because they're worried you might offend someone. But I'll just ask, like, what's Tree Tracker cost?
So we put it straight out there. If you want to go in and play with it, it's a free, there's no time limit trial. So you are limited to 200 acres stored in there or less. And that's a free trial. Then you can upgrade and get 15,000 acres stored or less. So that's like kind of a large landowner, smaller consultant, or you're new, you're getting going. You don't need to invest a lot, get going. And let me pull that up too. I don't want to misquote it. I'm pretty sure that's 275. That question always changes too. So currently it's 275 for that plan, and then for a quarter million acres of storage, it's 550, and that's annual. You can also do monthly if you want, but annual is what people typically do.
Per
And
user.
per user, right? Yeah, that's not a like, yeah. So if you've got a team of three or four, whatever, you're gonna want your own users, right? Because if everybody's going and touching the same live data, you can have a bunch of key punch errors and things like that. So we price it very affordably because it is per user. And so for the same type of software that an organization might be using, it still comes out about the same or similar. But when you share, you can limit. You can say this person doesn't need to have editing ability, but they have access to it. So if you have everybody in the same account, you can't provide that customization amongst your team. Yes. And the app, the app is, comes with it. That's included. We do have some add-on currently, but by the time this probably airs, it'll be changed. But the like the landownership layer, that's a third-party provider. First year in, we charged extra for that. It was an upgrade. We are planning on including that into future paid prices, so it's not going to have to be an add-on. And but that's currently $100, which is similar to what other products are for the same. That's nationwide. And that's there's some really cool things you can do with that too. Like you instead of drawing your own polygon, you just select it and grab the shape and put it in there, and you don't even have to draw anymore. So
Yeah,
but
very
that's the
cool.
pricing.
Very cool. And what are the top three FAQ questions you get? How about this one? But I only need to, like, George, I only need to use this 3 months out of the year. Can I just pay like a bit of that?
Yeah, that's a great point, Kevin. Actually, we thought of that. Yeah, if you're only going to use it 3 times a year, but you want to have it ready to go, we'll store your data in there with your account, right? Make a paid monthly account, do your work. And if you want to go in and do the trouble of shutting it off, and it'll still be sitting there, but when you go into your account, you just can't view it. The project's there, it's held. And then if you want to get in and gain access to it again, then just pay another. You know,
Triple
reestablish
price.
your account. Yeah.
Triple price.
So, but yeah, I mean, that's that people. I don't see anybody doing that, but that is possible. We built that flexibility up.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we look, we got a couple minutes together. I'm just curious to get your as your seat as CEO of Tree Tracker and looking forward in terms of industry trends, whether technology or forestry or I know Tree Tracker can be used for this, but I'm surprised that well, I don't want to say buzzword. It's not really a buzzword, but the whole carbon climate side of things. Like, what are you seeing industry trend broadly, and are there any technological components? But and what does carbon mean to you in the whole? I don't know. Again, I'm choosing my words carefully. I don't want to say movement, but carbon movement.
Yeah.
What are you seeing out there?
Well, I'm going to give you probably a different answer or a different approach than you normally get. The carbon movement, as you put it, is really what I see and how I recognize it, is an interest of the entire world in forestry now. So beforehand, forestry did its business. They had managers, and I'll speak very, very good about the forest industry. They are. You know, trying to protect the resource, even though they do utilize the wood. But now we have the entire world looking in and seeing the resource as not privately owned. It's universally shared for a lot of reasons. And that opens a lot of discussion on my thoughts of technology, not just, okay, what do we do with carbon credits and all this sort of business, is more of how do we maintain that attention of the entire world and capitalize educating them of what we do, provide them the tools to understand. That's one reason why we have a free application. Go out there and learn about it, play with it. So what do I think it's going to evolve into? Not really sure. I hope that the whole world learns what a valuable resource forestry is. I think that we underutilize it for a lot of goals. There's a lot of potential out there to capture this in meaningful ways, not just for wood products, but you know, we got recreation and we've got you know, green space. Urban forestry is a huge topic as well right now for, you know, reducing heat on streets and pavements and aesthetics. So how we take this initial burst of interest, capitalize it for our industry. That's really kind of where my mind goes when I get asked about kind of carbon. I don't have an answer for carbon. There's a whole bunch of people that work on it. I'm more interested in like forest certification programs and having our system be able to track, like, okay, here's a tree farm certification and help them capture that to go forward through the wood products, which is a similar topic, but different. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Forest certification. Yeah, never thought of it from that point of view. And so thinking of maybe again, you've had a really interesting career looking at what you've done and where you are now. What tips would you give for, the younger digital forester that's coming into this space? Like what Yeah, it's kind of funny because I talk with some people and I say, what would What would the value be to you if you can sit down at a dinner table with George or other CEOs of forestry, right? And have that touch point. Like, what would you ask them? And most young people are like, oh, I don't even know what to ask, but I would love to have that dinner aside from the free dinner, but our curated round table there. But thinking of the other way around, like if they're there and they're the future, right? The men and women there, are there certain pro tips you would impart to them given your breadth of experience and years in this industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. And always interesting to think about, you know, looking back, what would I say to myself 15 years ago? And you know, even back then, I always challenged the common way things were being done. And I think I've kind of gotten where I am because I did not say this is good enough ever. So, you know, I look back at, and I'm going to quote somebody I admire from history that says that you know, one of the most dangerous phrases in our country or in it for humanity is this is the way we've always done it before. So that was Rear Admiral Grace Hopper who coined that phrase, who also coined debugging for us programmer groups as well. And so I highlight her and I think about her a lot, just challenging how things are done. And so I would say to them, you know, the first step that is always successful for me is learn how they're doing it now. Find out every single step, because when you find out every single step of how it's being done now, the inefficiencies are going to come to the surface really quick. You're going to say, okay, this works, this works, this works. But for some reason, I spend 2 hours on this one step. Why is that? And also to think about the problem backwards. So that's how my mind works. I say, I really want to go from A to Z, but why do I have to go through all these other things? Can't I skip those things? So if I start from Z and say, this is all I really care about, this map, this report, whatever, what's the shortest avenue to get there? So challenge the way you approach a problem by looking at what the answer you really are trying to get. And then look at how it's being done now and really understand, you know, why it's done that way. And then when you understand each step, the inefficiencies will come to the surface.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice. And so last question for me, similar to that vein, less techie, but as a successful tech CEO with Tree Tracker, who did you have to become to realize the success? Like what's changed, right? 14 years you're obviously, you know, consulting, doing this work successfully, and then you made this step to be president and CEO of Tree Tracker. But in that journey, who did you have to become to get to the point where you could realize success?
I think that every successful leader, not a title, but just if you're in a position to kind of lead a vision at all, at any level, you've got to understand your people and you got to understand where they're coming from. I know my team has skills. I know that they're very capable. But I also need to know what's going to make them happy. What's going to put them in a position of their own personal success? And if I can fix their concerns, then they're going to perform at a very high level. And so for me, learning to be a leader means putting others first. You know, I get paid last, is how I view it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be taken care of. You know, if they're in an awkward situation, I'm gonna ask them and find out how to put it through. And you know, and I credit a lot of group programs. I credit my kids for that, right? Because as a father, I had to become patient. I had to become you know, a guide, and I had to learn what worked. I had to put them into after school programs and things like that that were achieving things, and I put them in there to learn. But what I learned was I sit in there and then I'm learning. I'm gaining the knowledge, and so, you know, to be a successful CEO, or leader, you got to put your people first, and you have to really care about them. You can't fake it. If they'll see right through that, and they won't appreciate it.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So, as we look to wind down, George, I've really enjoyed the conversation. I suspect a lot of folks will hear about Tree Tracker, this conversation, or just honestly your words, and want to follow up with you and either get to know you or ask you FAQ question number 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. But what's the best way for folks to reach you? Is it social? Is it website? Is it email? What's the best way?
Gosh, all of them. I am I'm on every avenue you can get me. Info, INFO at Tree Tracker goes straight to me. That's on our website. Our website is treetracker.com. So there's a contact form in there. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very receptive to LinkedIn. So you can find me on that avenue as well. But email, website, social. All the above.
Yeah, I can attest that you'll be able to find George on LinkedIn, no problem at any hour, and you'll be able to get some response there. So hey, it was great to meet you. It was great to have this conversation and learn more about Tree Tracker and your journey and your partners as well, and how you got to where you be. Gonna wish you all the success. I'm hoping to see you on the circuit at some point in person, but just really wanted to thank you for joining this pod and sharing the Tree Tracker story and your own story. Truthfully, I thought it was really powerful messaging to hear your thoughts there. So thanks so much, and wishing you all the best.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you having me on. I listen to you, and I think you do a great job for our forest community spreading this message.
Awesome. Thanks so much. All right, well, we'll keep in touch. Talk soon.